Very good evening to you, and thank you for the welcome. Thank you, Derek, especially for the welcome and the introduction. He mentioned how I was dressed, and yes, you can take the man out of the Air Force, but you can't stop him cleaning his shoes. Yes, it is great to be back. It's always good to come back and to share Surrey Chapel. We have so many wonderful memories of our time here. And when you do go back somewhere, even though some things have changed, like the chairs, it took seconds, didn't it, after we were gone. Chairs were changed, a very simple, easy decision that you had. That was good. A wise old pastor had a word with me when I was becoming a pastor. He said, if you want to get everybody to a church meeting, he said, just start a rumour that you're going to change the chairs. But it's great to be back. It's hard to imagine that you've been away, and when Derek mentioned could fall from the Catton Fellowship, come forward, I was there, I was ready to go. And then I remembered, no, it's been 5 years since I was a member of the Catton Fellowship. But of course, in reality, that there is only one church. We are all one, and whether it's those wonderful silver-haired prayer warriors in India, the church here, or us over at the South Park, we're all one, and we rejoiced in the news of the baptisms of Faith and Posey this morning. And we're praying with you as well during these difficult times for yourselves and particularly for Tom, Suzanne and the family. And we particularly welcome the help that we've had from Surrey Chapel, some of you coming and speaking at various different meetings and on Sundays. It's good to be here and to share. Would you turn it in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1? And I shall read the first 11 verses of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, first one. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up at the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And Father, we do pray for your blessing on the reading of this word, and we pray for you to speak to us now as we look at these words. Amen. I know that some of you have been to the East Anglian Ministry Assemblies, meetings that have generally been over in Beighton, near Bury St Edmunds, And if you haven't been to one before, do take the opportunity to go. They're very, very worthwhile. The next one is in October, and it's the East Anglian Gospel Partnership who arranges those. A day of really good, encouraging teaching. And a few years ago, at one of those ministry assemblies, Graham Daniels from Christians in Sports was speaking. And he noted how some people, just the odd one or two who we know in our churches, have this amazing gift of being able to witness in any and every situation. Now, every church has got one or two of those people who you all remember and you all know well, who can just witness anywhere. And he was saying how we remember that because it's so rare. It's not easy for most of us to do that. But he told a story about a former director of Christians in Sport who had that amazing gift of just being able to witness anywhere at any time. He said a whole crowd of them from Christians in Sport were heading to Twickenham to watch the rugby. And at one point they crossed the road at a Pelican crossing. And there was an open-top car had pulled up by the zebra crossing. And this director of Christians in Sport, he looked at this open-top car and he said, "I really like your car, mate." "Why, thank you." He said, what kind of car is it?" "Oh, it's a BMW 325 injection cabriolet." It was a just slightly smug reply. "BMW," he said. "Do you know what BMW stands for?" And this man started to think, "Bavarian something or other." No, he said, "I know what it stands for. It stands for Be My Witness." And the guy says, no, I don't think it's that," he says. "Yes, it is," he says. "It's Be My Witness. Jesus said that to his disciples. He said, Be My Witnesses. He wanted his disciples to tell people everywhere that he had died for them. And that if we put our trust in him, we can be eternally forgiven and be children of God." He said, "If your life's changing now, you'd better go. Good day." And I tell you this story because it's very important that we remember that we are called to be Christ's witnesses. That is the calling that every one of us have. Not everyone has that amazing gift that this person has. But it doesn't lessen the calling. And every time you see a BMW now, don't point at it and think, "Look, there's an estate agent." Point at it and say, "Be my witness." Every time you see a BMW, let it remind you, "Be my witness." That is what you are called to do. And three things I hope that you'll remember as well. Even if you don't remember these three things and the whole of the rest of the sermon, the rest of the 53 minutes of this sermon, if you just remember that first part, "Be my witness," then that would be great. But the first thing that I would like you to remember as well, if you could, is that as Christ's disciples, we are called to continue his work that he began on earth. Verse 1 of this passage, Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach." Now that first book is the Gospel of Luke, of course. And it ends with Jesus' death. And yet Luke writes that that was only the beginning of what Christ came to do. The beginning of all he began to do and teach. The work of teaching didn't stop with Christ's death or even with his resurrection or with his ascension. It continues today. And what is that work of Christ that he came to do that continues after his death? Verse 3, we get a clue. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men, that's his disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus gave proof that he was alive, and he taught people all about the kingdom of God. That was the teaching that Jesus came to do, and that only began with his life and death and resurrection and ascension. The kingdom of God is the great story of the Bible. It's the great narrative that runs right the way through the Bible from beginning to end. God has been drawing people together and building for himself a kingdom, a people of his own. And the Bible ends by telling us where history is going to end. With those people that God has called together physically living in that new kingdom, in a place where there'll be no more death, no more suffering, and no more pain. But the most important message about that kingdom is that anybody can be part of it. If people would trust in Jesus Christ, trust that he really is everything that the Bible says he is, trust that he died for their sins, ask him for forgiveness for those sins, real heartfelt plea for forgiveness, then we can be part of that kingdom. And so can anybody who we meet, anybody who we talk to. The most important message about the kingdom of God is that the people we meet can be part of that if they would turn to Jesus Christ. And it's that work which Jesus didn't finish, he only began, and then he left to his disciples. And they've passed it on from generation to generation to generation, all the way down to us, and that we continue today. The role of making Christ known, of being Christ's witnesses. Remember that as the first lesson the next time you see a BMW in the street. Secondly, that role, I've kind of touched on it already, I've branched away from my notes and got confused, but the second part is that that work continues today in us as Jesus witnesses. In verse 8, we finally see this BMW command, be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. Has that command been fulfilled, do you think? Has Christ been witnessed to by his disciples to the ends of the world? Let me word it like this. Has Jesus been witnessed to in every house on your street? In every dorm of the university? To everyone in our workplaces? To all the people that we meet on a weekly basis? I think we have a long, long, long way to go before we fulfilled the be my witness command for Jesus' disciples. Yes, word has spread around a huge proportion of the globe, but you know, it hasn't half missed an awful lot of little places on its way. A lot of places that we go to, people who we speak to. Did you notice, as we read, how keen Luke was to stress that Jesus gave many convincing proofs of his resurrection? It was really important for Luke to pass on in this book, Jesus really had risen from the dead. There is no doubt about it. He was seen by many, many people, eyewitnesses, first-hand accounts, People who knew Jesus before he was dead. People who saw him definitely dead and definitely buried, saw him genuinely raised from the dead. He wanted the readers to know that this had been seen and was known. And what did Jesus tell his disciples to be witnesses of? They were to be witnesses of what they had seen, that Jesus really was risen from the dead, and witnesses of what they had heard, the teaching of Jesus Christ. As Matthew 28 puts it at the Great Commission, teach them everything I have commanded you. The disciples were told by Jesus to be his witnesses of what they had seen and what they had heard. And so are we. If we're going to fulfill this command, we're to be witnesses of what we have heard about Jesus, what we've read about him in the Bible, the truths about him that are written there. But also witnesses of what we have personally seen. Our eyewitness accounts of what Jesus has done. If you are a Christian, you have something very, very special that you are a first-hand witness of. And that is the things that Christ has done for you. Your salvation, first and foremost. Your testimony of how Christ saved you. But the ways he's helped you since. The wonderful answers to prayer. The ways that God has changed you. So that you think and act differently now to how you did before you knew him. These are your eyewitness testimonies about the kingdom of God. And God has given you those experiences so that you can be witnesses of them and share them with other people so that they can find the truth about the kingdom of God as well. We may not all be like that director of Christians in sport. We might not be able to think of a clever way of witnessing it in every situation. But we all have testimony of what Christ has done that we can share with people. There's a lady at South Park Church. Her name is Rita. And she is just the most nervous character that you could meet. And she's convinced that she cannot witness to people. I get all my words in a muddle, she says. I get jumbled up. I can't do it. One Sunday evening, I saw something wonderful happen. Rita was sat down at her usual place, about three rows back down here, and one of the students who comes to us, she came and she sat next to Rita and they chatted before the start of the service. One of the youths who comes to our South Park Youth Spy, our terrific youth group, one of them came in and he sat down next to this student. And at the end of the service, Rita sat talking to the student and she shared her testimony. And as far as she was concerned, that's all she was sharing her testimony with a friend, with a student who comes to our church. But sitting next to the student, hearing every word, was this member of our youth group who doesn't know Christ as his Saviour. And he sat and took it all in and was amazed at the wonderful things God had done in the life of this nervous little old lady. What a witness she was in that moment. What a powerful thing she was able to witness to. And it was her own first-hand witness. It couldn't be denied. It couldn't be written off. We all have a testimony. an eyewitness account of the kingdom of God. And if we're willing to be Christ's witnesses, amazing things can happen. The disciples in this passage, on two occasions, just in these 11 verses, that they let their eyes go from this task and they're brought back to it sharply. In verse 6, they start thinking ahead, asking if Jesus was going to bring in the earthly kingdom. When were these things going to happen? When was the end of the world going to come? And Jesus, he doesn't even begin to answer their question. He just brings their thought back to the task in hand. You will receive power to be my witnesses, he tells them. After Jesus had gone up to heaven, taken up before them, they stand looking up to heaven, amazed at what they'd just seen, eyes off the task. And two angels come and stand next to them. Why are you gazing into heaven? Why are you gazing up there? You've just been given a job down here. They've been given a task by Jesus to be my witnesses. And as Christ's witnesses, yes, we do. We have to have a heaven focus. We have to remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done and where Christ is now and where we're going. But our task, our real role, is to be Christ's witnesses on earth. Sometimes God has to bring our mind back, pull us back into focus, and remind us of what we're here to do. To BMW. I'm going to keep repeating it so it's stuck in your head at the end of the night. BMW. Be my witnesses, Christ said. And point three, and here's the answer to those of us who think we're just too shy and timorous and just not gifted enough to be able to do this, and we don't have the theological understanding to share with people about Jesus. How can we do it? Well, we don't do it in our own strength. We don't do it in our own knowledge. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that when Jesus taught the disciples, that he did it through the Holy Spirit to the disciples he had chosen. Even Jesus was only able to affect people's lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to be able to teach people, we mustn't imagine for one moment that we can do it without. Or that the Holy Spirit can't use us. And Jesus promises that Holy Spirit to his disciples. Verses 4 and 5, he says, "You will receive the Holy Spirit." There's a definite, there's a certainty about it. You are going to receive that Spirit. Jesus was about to go to heaven. He's about to leave the disciples behind. But the Holy Spirit was going to come and he was going to work through those disciples to continue Christ's work on earth. And that promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out on Christ's believers was not a new promise at this point. It had been made many times. It was a promise that the Father had made, even in the Old Testament. At Joel 2, for example, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." It has always been part of God's plan to have a people of his own full of the Holy Spirit. A Spirit that enables us to do far more than we ever imagined that we could. A Holy Spirit that is poured out on every believer and disciple of Jesus Christ. In verse 5, you're not just going to be given the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, you're going to be baptized with it. I remember when I had my baptism classes here with Pastor David Middleton. He took that time to stress to us how the word baptized means completely drenched, utterly immersed in water. Well, here Jesus says you'll be baptized, he's using the same word, in the Holy Spirit. You'll be immersed in the Holy Spirit, drenched in the Holy Spirit. It will completely fill you, it will be completely cover you. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit absolutely flowing through you in a wonderful way. And it's that Spirit which enables you to do the most remarkable things. Things you could never do in your own strength. Including sharing your eyewitness testimonies of what God has done in your life. Obeying Jesus' command to be my witness to the very ends of the earth. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We can apply these words to us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And today we could add, and among your friends and your acquaintances and your families and in Anglia Square and in Norwich and in all Britain and to the ends of the earth. As Jesus' disciples, we continue the work of Jesus Christ. The work of sharing the truth about the kingdom of God. We have a calling to be Christ's witnesses of all the wonderful things that he's done. The things recorded in the Bible about him, the things we've seen him and experienced him do. And we can be that witness because the Holy Spirit fills us, drenches us. And enables us to do the work that God has called us to. Be my witnesses, Jesus says to us. We're going to close the service this evening with a song that was a favourite every Easter Sunday while Mandy and I were here at Surrey Chapel. It's a word that reflects on these opening few verses of the book of Acts, and in fact the opening couple of chapters of the book of Acts. A song that reminds us that God raised Christ from the dead and that he places his Holy Spirit on us so that we can be witnesses of that to the world today. Let's stand and sing, God raised him up.